This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Joining me right now is the head basketball coach at Maryland, Kevin Willard. The Terps Friday afternoon in Seattle against Grand Canyon University in a first round game. Maryland 25-8, a very exciting season. I'm curious, before the bracket came out, you know, it's, you know, last night on CBS, how much of an information junkie you are when it comes to, you know, bracketology and trying to seek out information before you know definitively where you're going?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Kevin, it's a good question, because I think during the year, as the season goes on, I'm really, really into it. I follow it. I explain it to the team. I talk about the different metrics and things like that. But once you get down to, you know, there's not much movement once you get down to Friday and Saturday in the conference tournament. You know, I thought we were the last three seed, and then when we lost to Michigan, I think we got the first four seed. So I think once you get to that point, you know you're in, and you're just kind of hoping to get the best seed possible.
Do we know that the conference tournaments really don't significantly change much at this point? Because I'm wondering, and maybe you have a thought on this, if we had beaten Michigan and we were playing yesterday, would we have been a three?
You know what? Maybe, but I don't think so. If you look at, you know, Michigan got a five seed, Wisconsin got a
right.
Seed, Michigan beat Wisconsin. So, you know, when you think about the complexities of all the different things that go into the seeding, I think most of the time, and I've been told this by different people that have been on the committee, most of the time the fields usually set the week of conference tournaments. And the only thing that really changes dramatically is the bid stealers, when like there's an upset in the conference tournament, someone gets knocked out. But for the most part, when you're seeding 68 teams, that's pretty much done before a conference tournament.
Did you have any sort of preference yesterday before CBS laid the whole thing out?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would have obviously gone to Providence,
right?
Just because I think we would have got more fans there. But you know, when you're a three or four seed, you know, you put a really good year of hard work in. We just enjoyed it when it was Seattle. We were excited because obviously we've gone out and played Washington and Oregon. So either way, once you get to that point, it's all about celebrating the fact that you've been an at-large team. That means you've been one of the best teams in the country all year long. You really just want your kids to enjoy it and get ready to get to work.
Is the first moment you know who you're playing and where you're going when CBS puts it up there on the screen?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had a really nice party yesterday with the team, and I think the biggest thing is making sure that, you know, obviously we're coming off that gut-wrenching loss to Michigan, my biggest thing yesterday was just making sure the guys really enjoyed that moment. And it's a great moment when you see your name pop up there and where you're going to go, who you're going to play. It's what the 7 months of hard work is all about.
Yeah, what I was asking, though, is do you get any information before it comes out? Like, do you get tipped? You guys are a four. You're going to play in Seattle before.
Oh, no.
Okay, geez. You got it. So,
yeah, I mean,
I used to get it just about 20 minutes before, only because I knew a bunch of guys that worked for Westwood One, and they would provide them with the bracket before. But I was sworn to secrecy. But I wasn't sure if that's something that you guys had any information on. So take us through exactly what happens once you know it's Grand Canyon, Seattle. I know there are a lot of moving pieces with travel and the whole thing, but what are you focused on?
Yeah, I mean, so really, the first thing you really do is just logistics. You got to make, I mean, you're not just jumping on a flight and going somewhere. You have your band, the cheerleaders, you have families. So, you know, you really have to sit down and you have to talk to the NCAA and tell them when you want to leave. They tell you your hotel. You got to get all that stuff. So the first kind of couple hours is logistics. That's what I'm doing. I'm working with my staff, my director of basketball operations, and trying to make sure that we get the best logistics to get out there and do it. The staff goes in and starts working on Grand Canyon. The other staff's working on the second round game. And then once I get the logistics done, we got done with that around 8:30 last night. And then the staff and I sat down and we start going through the game plan for Grand Canyon, and we start breaking that down. We did that for a couple hours, and then we got in this morning. We've been doing that, and we're getting ready step into practice.
On the logistics front, I'm just curious, is there there's a designated hotel, or are there choices for hotels? Like, is it a mad dash to get the best accommodations or not?
No, see, that's why I really believe that the seating's done way in advance, the week of, is you get your hotel based on what your seat is.
Okay.
Each city that you go to, the seat is designated from the hotel. So the NCAA sits there and says, okay, you're going to the Hilton because you're the four seed, and with the six seed is going to some other hotel. So that's when you really realize the complexities of running the NCAA tournament and everything that goes into it. You know, it's all done based on your seed.
All right. So what can you tell us about Grand Canyon at this point?
Yeah, I mean, they're a good basketball team. You know, they have really good size. You know, for I've been really impressed. Not only are they have good size on the inside, but their guards and wings have good length. They're very good defensively. They get after it. They play fast, but they don't push the tempo crazy. They just shoot very quickly in the half court. They put a lot of pressure on you to guard one-on-one, to guard your guy. Defensively, they'll mix it up a little bit. They played Georgia and Stanford some 2-3 zone. They played a lot of man-to-man. Overall, you know, they don't shoot it great. I would say that's probably the only thing they don't do well. But besides that, everything else, they do really, really well.
Is there a team, once you watch them on film, that you say, they play like this team, let's go, and we played that team, let's go back and look at it?
Yeah, a little bit. But at this time of year, you know, you are who you are a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're putting in a little bit different secondary break for them, because they do play defense a little bit like Washington. They play defense a little bit like Wisconsin. So we're going to put a different secondary break in that we had in earlier in the year. But for the most part, you know, right now, just concentrating what we're going to do defensively and really just focus on that right now.
And you did say that part of your staff starts to look at Memphis and Colorado State.
Yeah, right now, me and David Cox are just focused on Grand Canyon. So it's me, David, my video coordinator. Us three are really just diving into Grand Canyon, and we'll spend all three days just worrying about Grand Canyon. My other two assistants, one guy has Colorado State, one guy has Memphis. I won't even look at those guys until after the game. So, me and David are just focused on Grand Canyon. The other guys are focused on their games, but they're not part of the game plan. Just me and David are part of that.
You know, I meant to ask you when about the logistics, and it's just me being curious about it. But, you know, where do you practice? Does a team like Oregon, who's also playing in Seattle as a conference team, do you guys, is there any sort of, you know, help that they give you, or you give that? What kind of camaraderie is there between conference teams playing in the same venue? And the first part of that was just, you know, how do you determine where you're going to practice, or is that the NCAA that does that?
No, I mean, NCAA gives you a time slot. We have our open practice on Thursday. I think it's from 1 to 1:40 that you have to be at. Mm-hmm. But as far as being in Seattle, you know, we're going to practice at Washington on Thursday. So those guys have been great. And the fact that they're in our conference, and Danny's a really great guy, so we'll practice at Washington on Thursday, and then Friday's an early game, so Friday morning will be a ballroom walkthrough. We won't do a regular walkthrough for a 1:30 game.
All right, as far as
Oregon, I probably won't even talk to Dana because they're in a totally different bracket and they're doing. They're probably having the same logistics that we're trying to figure out.
Gotcha. You know, the sports changed a lot in the last, you know, 10 years, 15 years, you know, maybe even and not as long as that. It's become, for many sports fans, a 1 month out of the calendar sport. And that month is March. But you're a part of the journey. And by the way, hardcore fans, and I'm one of them, are kind of watching the journey as well. But how much do you sort of balance this incredible 25 wins that you had, memorable moments? You know, the Illinois-Indiana back-to-back was so much fun. There were different moments during the course of the year, the painful one at home against Michigan State, but certainly a memory. But how do you balance the largesse of 33 games in the journey you've been on with this one and done where all the attention is?
Yeah, I mean, that's actually a great question, Kevin, because it's like, I say this all the time, if you don't have a good journey throughout the year, then you don't have a chance to be in this tournament. So the journey is probably most important, because if you're an at-large team, if you get an at-large bid, it really means that you have one of the best 30 game seasons. And we celebrate that. You know, I told the guys that the other day. I mean, when you get a 4 seed, that means you've been one of the best teams all year long. Right now, we have to flip the switch, though. So now it's the way I'm looking at it, it's the second season. So the journey was great. We had a great year. The journey gave us the opportunity to get to this point, and now you have to take advantage of this point. So it's almost like flipping the switch a little bit. It's like, all right, now we worked all year to get better, and right now our main focus is the fact that it's a one-and-done season, and we got to take advantage of the fact that we're in it.
Yeah, it's just interesting because you get judged less on the 33 games by fans and much more about what happens now.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the ION College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us, or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the ION College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? There's something to it, because if you don't have a good season and you don't get a good seed, it's really hard to advance in March. And so that's kind of where the balance has to be, is the fact, yes, you get judged on March, but the better you do during the season, the better chances you're going to have to win in March. And I think that's kind of where you do get judged that way. But as a coach, you got to make sure that you do everything possible during the season to give you the best opportunity to win in March.
Is this your best team that you've coached anywhere?
No, my 2019-2020 team.
Oh, right.
At Seton Hall, the COVID year was really, really good. This is probably my second best. I would say by far it's the most fun I've had coaching of any team I've ever had. They are fun to be around. They work hard. They have a great attitude. I enjoy being with each one of these guys on an individual basis, just to talk to them. So it's by far, I've had the most fun coaching I've had in my career.
You know what's interesting about that, Kevin? Your COVID team, you guys, I think you shared in the Big East title that year. Is that the year that you shared a Big
East?
Yeah. And Maryland did the same thing in the Big Ten. And you guys, Maryland was going to be either a 2 or a 3 seed. I'm imagining you were going to easily be a top 4 seed, right?
Yeah, we were probably trending towards a 2 or 3 seed. And the biggest thing was we were going to be in the East region, which that year the Sweet 16 was in Madison Square Garden.
Right.
So it would have been like a home game for us. And I think the same thing was, I think I talked to Turge the next year, and he was the same thing. They were going to get, I forget where their region was, but it was going to be someplace close to here. And it's unfortunate because, the Maryland team, we played them that year. They were really good. They had obviously great guard play. They had Sticks. They had Bruno. They were a team that was built for a long run.
Yeah, they were good that year. They had a point guard in Cowan, and they had Sticks and Wiggins off the bench. Morsell was the defensive player of the year. They were loaded heading into that thing. And I remember your team. I remember you had a couple of big dudes, and you had one tough ass guard. And I'm blanking on his name right now.
Miles Powell.
Powell. Yeah.
We had 2 7-footers that, we protected the rim at an elite level, and which gave us a chance to be really aggressive on the wing. So we defended the 3 really well. And I had 6'11", 7 foot, 7 foot. And it was, it was one of those things where we just defensively were so good that we could have beat anybody.
Last one. Just, do you think about the fan base, this Maryland fan base? I don't think you knew it when you got the job. I remember a couple of our first conversations. It is a very passionate fan base. It's a demanding fan base. And, it's a national championship program. Gary won a national championship, went to back-to-back Final Fours. And this team, regardless of the coach, has been to one Sweet 16 over the last 22 years. Do you feel any of that, and the added pressure of getting beyond this first weekend?
Yeah, I think you feel that no matter where you are nowadays. I think I've actually enjoyed this fan base and the way they are. The only thing that I've been trying to do is educate our fan base on the Big Ten. It's right. I think we're still stuck a little bit in the ACC world where, college basketball has changed. I don't think our fan base enjoys how good Big Ten basketball is. The Midwest and really the fan bases out there understand how good the Big Ten basketball is. I think our fans are starting to realize how much fun Big Ten basketball is. And really enjoying it. And I thought the fan base this year, we started off attendance a little slow, but I think once they realized, what type of team this was, how fun they were to watch, to only lose really one game at home, we went 17-2. It shows you how good this fan base is.
You like Maryland? You like the Big Ten? You going to be here for a while?
Yeah, the Big Ten is great, Kevin. It's one of those things. I said this yesterday to one of the reporters after the selection came out, was the greatest thing that the Big Ten is, it makes you have to be a better coach every day. When you go up against Matt Painter and Tom Izzo, Dana Altman, Mick Cronin, you know, you go down the list of all these guys that are in this league that are so good. You know, Greg Gard at Wisconsin. You know, Dusty's done a phenomenal job at Michigan. We see so many different styles that you have to. You just can't sit there and say, okay, you can't be stubborn and say, I'm going to play this way every day because, you know, that's the way it's going to work. You have to really adapt. And I enjoy Big Ten basketball. I love the challenge. And, you know, Maryland, it's a great program. And I think I love the momentum that we have going right now.
Best of luck. Really hoping for the best. Enjoy it. And hopefully we can talk next week before a Sweet 16 game.
That was great, Kev. I appreciate it.
Kevin Willard, everybody, had that conversation with him yesterday. And, you know, Maryland fans understand this. One Sweet 16, and that was in 2016, over a period going back to the year after the national championship season. So between 2004 and current, just one trip to the Sweet 16 for a program that for a long period of time was pretty much a threat, you know, an even money threat to get to the second weekend almost every season. And so that's a long period of time of March, you know, kind of coming up short. And a lot of the teams that Maryland's had, including some of the teams Gary coached, certainly had a chance and were even favored in some of those second round games to get to the Sweet 16. I don't want to sell anybody short because I'd like a big run to the Final Four and beyond. But I'll tell you what, Denton, it would be a big disappointment if Maryland's not getting ready this time next week for a Sweet 16 game in San Francisco. They'll be favored in whichever, you know, opponent they face in the second round. That's a little bit different than, you know, not every trip have they been favored to get to the Sweet 16. Their last two tournaments where they won first round games over UConn in Turge's final year and against West Virginia 2 years ago in Kevin Willard's first year, they played Alabama, much better team, and they were big underdogs in those second round games. I mean, what would have happened in 2020? Who knows? I think it would have gone well, but they could have also been, you know, one and done by, you know, in a 2:15 game or a 3:14 game. But man, there is a hunger among a lot of us that love Maryland basketball to get back to what really is the highest profile spot, which is getting to that second weekend where there are 16 teams left, 8 games, and you're really in those high profile moments. I think they've got a really good chance to get there. Grand Canyon, Colorado State, or Memphis, if Maryland plays their best, they should be playing and getting ready for a third round Sweet 16 game this time next week. You like them to get to the Sweet 16, right?
I do.
I'm hearing all this stuff about Colorado State. Gotta worry about. How about let's just get by Grand Canyon? Because I'm sure somebody will start ripping off, you know, their sixth man of the year guy. That's my favorite this time of year. You know, all the talk about, oh man, have you seen Omaha's, you know, two guard or point guard, or my God, does Ole Miss have a player, or Yale? I mean, all you got to do is look at, you know, they're big dude. These matchups, you have no idea, especially in these neutral court, sterile environments. Anything can happen. But even with that said, would be a big disappointment if they don't win two this weekend. I don't think he's feeling it. You know, he's never been beyond the first weekend at Seton Hall. Plenty of tournament visits. So this would be, if he gets to a Sweet 16, his first as well. All right, Roy Hibbert coming up in 10 minutes. He's been doing a lot of college basketball analyst work. We will talk about the contest that we are putting out there for the tournament when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980 and theteam980.com.